There we go.
There it is.
Thank you. Our reading today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Living Water Church. And today's the final message on this Game On series that we've been in on. You've been going through the last few weeks. You'll notice as you get your message notes out that the title of today's sermon is It's Time to Walk Across the Room. And that really has been purposely chosen as this title. Because see, all throughout this series, we've been looking at how God really does want to use each of us in some unique ways to make a difference in your family, in your community, in our church, and around the world. And so you might ask, well, how does God want me to use him? How does he want to use me to go across the room? Why? Well, what's that all about? Well, I'm glad you asked, in case you were thinking it, you know, because I brought this table and chairs. Now, it might have been more, why is there a table and chairs than that other question, but we brought this up here so it can kind of help illustrate, and really this table and chairs, it represents our church, okay? Each and every week, we prepare the table for worship. We prepare it for worship. We practice the songs. We prepare the communion elements. We pray over each service. We have people that are ready to greet each of us as we come into the church. This table, it represents our church. And we exist as a church to give the people of our community, you know, Oxford, Ortonville, Clarkston, Lake Orion, and beyond, then with Facebook Live, really it opens us up to anyone who has internet around the world, but we exist as a church to give people an opportunity to become fully developing followers of Jesus. That's why we're here. And so these three chairs around this table, they represent three groups of people who are here this morning at Living Water Church. Three distinct groups. For example, this chair right here, it represents anyone who's here this morning, or maybe someone who's watching on Facebook Live, who is searching. You haven't yet given your heart to Jesus yet, but you're kind of seeking. You're trying to decide, is this something that I'm supposed to do? Is this something that I believe in? And so you're exploring things spiritually. You know, maybe there was a topic that brought you here, or maybe, you know, you were invited to come, but you would admit you're not yet a follower of Jesus. You don't necessarily yet have faith in Christ, but you're kind of checking things out. You're seeking, and you're looking, and you're here. And sometimes people who sit in this chair, they can be very faithful. And I know I love talking to people who are exploring their next steps and asking about God and getting into the Bible and trying to understand what this is all about. Part of the reason that we're here as a church is for you. And we welcome you at the table. We want to make this, just a good time for you where you're looking for these things. Now, the second chair, it represents those of you who are new to your faith. You are a believer in Jesus, but you're kind of new. You've just recently given your life to Jesus, or maybe you used to be a believer, but you kind of fell away, and you've come back to church, and you would say you're getting started again. You know, it's new, and I'm really glad that you're here. This church exists for you, too. We welcome you to this table. You know, we're here to make, you know, church inspiring and fun and a creative environment for you to grow in. Then that third chair over there, it represents those of you who are growing in your faith. And I choose this word growing intentionally because we're never fully grown. We always have room to deepen our roots and our understanding of who God is and steps that he wants us to take. And so we're growing. It represents those who have a sincere faith in God. You've moved past the beginning stages and you would say, I'm maturing in Christ. Now, not this is just something that you'd say, but it's something that you also show by your works. This is the person who's learned not only to be fed on Sunday mornings, but they've learned to feed themselves. They have a daily devotion. You read the Bible on your own. You're growing in your faith outside of church. And then maybe you're leading in certain ways in the church. This is a person who doesn't argue anymore about tithing. You're over that. You understand how important that is to your own spiritual growth. This is a person who's willing to sacrifice time for God and the church. This is a growing follower of Jesus. And so whatever seat you sit in here at this church, you know, I make this commitment to you that I will never water down the gospel. You're going to be able to be challenged here. We'll help you mature and help you grow. And then if you're just getting started, we're going to welcome you. And we're going to kind of break it down step by step, but so you can learn how to grow. And if you're just checking things out, we're going to create a safe space for you to be here. And we're glad that you're here at this table as well. But there is another chair. Yeah, it's that chair that's way over there. Did you happen to notice that chair when you came in today? It's been sitting there the whole service. I don't know if you noticed it or not. This chair is the one who's not yet at the table. Which, by you know, and so this is the 70% of people who live in Michigan who don't yet have a table to go to on Sundays, who have not discovered the good news that this person is seeking about and this person who has recently found and this person is growing in their faith about. And so that is the chair. Here's what God does. God says he wants to use us, which by definition is everybody who's at this table, because you're part of this worship service. God wants to use us to get up and walk across the room and reach that person. In fact, that's his final command that he gave us, the Great Commission. It's in your message notes. Jesus said, yes, we're to grow. Yes, we're to enjoy the table. Yes, we're to have great fellowship here. And yes, we're to enjoy a great meal Sunday after Sunday, week after week. But we're also not to ignore that person over there in that seat. And so we find the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And Jesus says, what's that first word? We're to what? Go. Jesus said, hey, those of you who are at the table, you found the kingdom, you found God, you're enjoying the meal, enjoy it, but don't forget to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're to bring these people to the table and then at the table teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded us. And Jesus said, if you'll do this, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. This is the great mission of Christians. We're to enjoy this table. We're to be around the table, come together at the table, but from time to time, also be aware of those who are not yet here at the table. And something that I've noticed over the years, sometimes this group of new believers and this group that's seeking kind of are, just kind of notice who is sitting at the table more than those of us who are growing in our faith, those who have been part of the church for a long time. And because sometimes, like most of us, we didn't notice that chair during the service as we were singing. We've been a follower of Jesus, but sometimes we forget. We forget that there's people who aren't yet at the table. And so Jesus tells us to remember. And the reason we're to remember those who aren't at the table yet, the reason that we're to walk across the room is because Jesus, before he told us to walk, he decided to walk. In fact, let me show you this. If you'll turn inside your notes, this next section is called Why Jesus Walked from Heaven to Earth. Jesus calls us to walk across the room to invite the person who's not at the table to come to the table, but he says, hey, I'm not asking you to do anything that I didn't do. And of course, when Jesus did it in a huge way. Jesus didn't just walk across the room. Jesus came from heaven to earth. Well, why? Well, first of all, Jesus walked from heaven to earth to show us his love for us. Jesus walked so that we would truly understand how deeply he loves us. For those of us who are sitting at this table, this is God's table, it's God's church. We're at the table today, and when we think about it, there was a time when we weren't at this table. All right, there was a time when we were living apart from God, when we were living in sin, even for those who grew up in church. For most people, there was a time when there was this struggle with the allure of the world before completely giving our hearts and life to Jesus. And so we've come to the table because we were looking for God's forgiveness. And we experience God welcoming us to the table. And then Jesus says, I love you way too much than to leave you in your sin. And so Jesus left heaven and came to earth to show us the way back to God. And so we're here today. And we have this table to gather around as a reminder of Jesus' love for us. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. There's nothing you can do to make Jesus love you more. There's also nothing you can do to make Jesus love you less. Now, if you're sitting in this table right here, this first chair, you know, maybe that's one of the things that you've been struggling with. You're at the table, but you haven't said yet to Jesus Christ, and maybe it's just because you need to be reminded one more time what God's love is all about. You know, and I hope by the end of the service that you'll be ready and able to say yes to the love of Jesus and allow him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. But notice what it says in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, the Word, that's Jesus, became human and lived here on earth among us. Jesus left heaven and came to earth. Why? He was full of unfailing love. That's the Word. And faithfulness. So Jesus says, I'm never going to leave you alone. I'm never going to give up on you. I love you. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. Now, it's one thing for Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth for a bunch of religious people. I mean, it's one thing for Jesus to do it for people who are trying to do the right thing. But Jesus chose to come to this earth to love us even when we were doing the wrong thing. Jesus said, I left heaven and come to earth, even though at that point you were living in sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, such a powerful verse where it says, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we, and we could change that word we to I, while I was still a sinner, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus walked from heaven to earth because there was a time when we were sitting in that chair over there. And he said, I loved you way too much to keep you there. So let me show you the way. Let me invite you to God's table. But then Jesus also walked from heaven to earth to show us his compassion for us. If Jesus had left us and had not come from heaven to earth, we would not have found our place then here at God's table in this life. And we would have then suffered from being apart from God here on this earth, and then for all eternity. And Jesus says, I love you way too much to keep you from God's table. I love you so much that I'm going to do everything I can to help you see that you do have a choice about your eternal destination. Because see, this place called hell is a reality. And Jesus talked about that place more than anybody else in the Bible. And he had compassion for us. He didn't want to leave us in our sin. And so he didn't want to leave us in that chair because he knows if we die in that chair, we not only die physically, we die spiritually, eternally. And so hell is worth thinking about. But then in this life, just trying to live without God. I mean, let me show you how Jesus put it. He describes it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, where it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Because see, without Jesus, how do you know where to go? He's described them as sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus walked to show us the way. I mean, he could show them where they can go to find help, where he can show them how to find hope and healing. And so those of us who have said yes, and we sit at this table, we have found that hope. We found that healing in our life. We found that peace and that help in Jesus Christ. those who sit in this table, especially those in these two chairs, they are not like someone who is sheep without a shepherd. We have a shepherd in our life. And so I found a study that was done, and they found who the most biblically minded cities in America. I have no idea how it came up with who followed the Bible the most, but they did this study, and because really that's the biggest problem for someone in that chair off stage there, is if you don't know where to go to help. You know, could you just imagine living without God's word in your life to give you that direction? Because we all know what happens when you do the opposite of God's word. It just creates all kinds of problems. And so these are the most biblically minded cities in America. Surprising, I didn't find Oxford, Michigan on that list. I'm sorry to tell you. These were the top cities: Nashville, Tennessee, Shreveport, Louisiana, Chattanooga, Birmingham, Jackson. Kind of sounds like a Johnny Cash song. Springfield, Charlotte, Lynchburg, Virginia. Pontiac wasn't on that list. Flint's not there. Detroit's not there. Now, the good news is that we're not at the bottom, because they gave us also the least biblically minded cities. I mean, anyone from Providence, Rhode Island, you know, don't admit it if you are, you know, or Albany, New York, Burlington, Vermont, and Portland, Maine, they were the least following the Bible. All right, and so, but, you know, they really are the 67 to 75% of people who live around us. These people are just like Jesus' day. They're sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus says, I've come to show you the way. You know, John 3:16, verse we know so well. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish. Eternal hell, but have eternal life. That's heaven. That's real life now, and it lasts for all eternity. And then Jesus walked to show his dream for us. God has a dream for each of us. I know it's kind of an unusual word to use, but God has a dream. He has a dream for all his creation. God has a dream for me. God has a dream for you. Part of God's dream is he doesn't want anyone to be separated from him for all eternity and all the horrors that would go with that. He wants you to find a place at this table. He wants you to say yes to Jesus Christ. God's dream for the person who's sitting over there is to seek him and say yes to Jesus, to open up their life to him, to find forgiveness and find purpose and find that identity that comes in Jesus Christ. But then after we say yes to Jesus, he still has a dream for each and every one of us. God's dream for us who are at this table is to help those who are in need. You know, he's at the table, you know, to do good things in God's name. It's for us to show God's love and compassion to the world. But God has that dream for that person who's not yet at the table, that they would find their way to the table, that they'd find hope in Jesus Christ, that they would find purpose. So Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, I came, in other words, I came, you know, I crossed the room, I came from heaven and earth, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I mean, look at that phrase in that second line, more and better. When you live life apart from God, you're living life not at God's ideal for you. You're missing out. You're missing out on God's wisdom. You're missing out on fellowship with him. You're missing out on God's purpose and his plan for you. You're missing out on blessings he would like to give you. And then you're living with fears and insecurities and consequences that God doesn't want you to have to live with. And so Jesus walked across the room. And he came from heaven to earth so we could have this more and better life. And so let's just do a little evaluation just for a minute for those of us who are at this table. Do you believe that these things are true there on that side of the paper? On the left side, do you know, those three reasons that Jesus came, do you believe Jesus walked to show his love for you? That Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. That Jesus loved you and died for you even while you were still in sin. And do you believe that he walked because of his compassion for you, that without him you'd be like sheep without a shepherd, and that if you die as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you'll get to spend eternity with him in heaven. And then, do you believe that Jesus came to show his dream for everyone? A real, fulfilled life now, an eternal life in the hereafter. If you do, then our key verse for our series that we've been looking at, John chapter 17, verse 18, just fits perfectly with what we're talking about. Where Jesus prayed to the Father, and this has been our key verse, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world. We just talked about Jesus' mission. He said, I give them a mission in the world. We're to do what Jesus modeled. We're to walk across the room for those we love and have compassion and have courage to be able to share our God story. So in this series, I've challenged you to pray a simple three-word prayer of God, use me. And many of you have done that. And God, you know, and so when we come to the table, God says, hey, I can use you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything together. You don't need to know all the answers for everything. If you will ask, I will use you. In fact, Jesus prayed that we'd be used. And so I want to encourage us just all, if you feel comfortable praying that simple three-word prayer, for us to just say those three words together as we pray them to God of God, use me. Would you really be willing to say that out loud? Ready? Let's say that. God, use me. It's a powerful little prayer. It's very opened. It's saying, God, I'm not going to put you in a box. You use me however you want to. But, oh, to be used by God. Well, how does God want to use you? One of the ways is to walk across the room. Well, why should we walk? Well, the first one, I walk because of my love for others. Once I know how much Jesus loves me, it's just kind of natural for me to have this desire for others to know Jesus as well. Our key verse for this week speaks to this. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. Short verse, powerful words. In all areas of life, this is true. We can't truly love others the way God loves us until we know how much Jesus loved us. And sometimes that word love, it gets kind of a romantic, soft notion in our society. But the question I have for those who are at the table, which is all of us, is do you have a sincere desire for the person who's not yet at this table to come to faith in Jesus Christ? Because see, that's a God kind of love. It's a love where you desire your friends and your coworkers and your family members. You love them enough to take the risk to walk across the room. And Jesus says this too. It's about obedience. Matthew 22, verse 39, where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Why, you know, who do you know that you could invite next week to come to church and be part of our Advent series? You know, next week I'm going to talk about how Jesus came to this earth as a baby to bring hope. And so, do you know anyone who could use a little bit more hope in their life right now? Invite them. Do you know anyone who loves the Christmas season but doesn't go to church right now? Invite them. So back to your notes. I walk because also my compassion for others. Jesus had compassion on us because he knew apart from him, we would be destined for an eternity of punishment meant for fallen angels. And he didn't like, you know, we don't like to think about that very much, but people who don't know Jesus yet, do we have compassion on them? Because of their eternal destination. Because see, Jesus tells a really interesting story about this. It's kind of a peek into what eternity is going to be like. It's a story about a guy, and we don't know his name, but Jesus just simply calls him a rich man. And then there's this person who's a beggar who lives at the doorstep of this rich man. And so we just know these two people, they die. And the rich man ends up going to hell. And Jesus gives us the snapshot of what's in this guy's mind. And we find this story in Luke chapter 16. And so the rich man says, because he can see across this divide from where he is to where Abraham is and where this beggar is now with Abraham. And he says, please, Father Abraham, send him, talking about the beggar, Send him back to my father's home, for I have five brothers and I want to warn them. And we surmise from Scripture that the Jesus' story, he's talking about this guy, you know, he's in hell, and when he was alive, eternity wasn't all that important to him. Stuff was probably a whole lot more important to him. What happened next in the afterlife, it just wasn't a priority. And he and his brothers, they lived like there was always going to be another tomorrow, and now he had no more tomorrows left. And he asked, go back and warn them. Why? About this place of torment. Look, it's too late once someone dies. It's too late to tell someone about Jesus after they die. We have to make up our minds about what we're going to do with Jesus in this life. And so if you're not a follower of Jesus, one of the excuses I often hear for people who sit in this first chair is, I haven't said yet, but I've got plenty of time to decide. I'm just kind of exploring, I'll keep coming back, but, you know, just give me more time, I'll figure it out at some point. But here's the challenge, you just don't know. So don't wait to say yes to Jesus. If you have enough faith, even as small as a mustard seed, to say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe he came back to life, then take that next step and say yes to Jesus. And then let's all be concerned of those who don't know Jesus yet. And I know sometimes when we talk about eternal destination things in hell and heaven, big topics like that, you know, we kind of think, but can I really do anything? Can I do anything that would make a difference? Can God really use me in that way? And the answer is yes. God can use you. God does it every single day, regular people all the time, in big ways and small ways. To bring people to him, God can use you. I recently saw a study about this. It said that 80% of people who don't go to church, when they're asked, they say they would go to church if they were invited by a friend or family member. Now, when I first went into ministry about 30, 35 years ago, that figure was at 50%. But today, it's now up to 80%. You know, I wonder why, but I don't know, but I think it's because people are just like sheep without a shepherd. They know they need God in their life. They're just looking, and they're just really open right now, more than ever before. And then the study goes on to say this. Only 2% of church members have ever invited someone to attend church with them. 2%. It's no wonder the church of the United States is slowly dying. I want to change that 2% to say 100% of those who go to our church has invited someone to come to church at least once in 2025. When we pray, God, would you use me? Let's be part of that group who's willing to go across the room and ask. Because of our love, because of our compassion, and then also because of our dream. Back to our notes, because of our dream for other people. I mean, do you really believe that it's in someone's best interest to study God's Word, to grow in God's grace, to experience Jesus in their life? If you do, then here's a question that someone asked me at one time. Will anyone be in heaven because of you? It's a really good question. If you really believe these things, are you acting on it? And if you're not acting on it, do you really believe it? Will anyone be in heaven because of you? Dream just for a moment. What would it look like if everybody in your neighborhood knew Jesus? How different your neighborhood would be. What would it look like if the people that you work with all knew Jesus? What would it be like if everybody in your family came to know Jesus? That's God's dream. It's God's dream for you. God wants to use you to reach people of Southeast Michigan who are not at his table. And God hasn't given up on them. You know, sometimes I hear people say, oh, I've tried to invite them in the past. Well, try again. Maybe they'll be a lot more open to it now. Try again. God hasn't given up on them. Then don't give up on them either. In fact, that's why I put 1 Corinthians 13 in your notes. It says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So I want to just encourage you just for a second to grab your connection card. And on the back of that, there's some steps for you to take. And the third step is invite the following friends to come to church next week. You might put one name, you might put two. There might be a name, and there's a face that popped in your head. It's someone you haven't thought of in years. It's like, wow, this person just popped in my head. I would assume it's the Holy Spirit if that happened to you. But would you be willing to write down a name or two or some initials of some names that you are going to make the commitment to make the invite this week to come to the first Sunday of Advent next week? Who could that be? You know, when we filled this card out a few weeks ago, praying for people, we wanted to have an opportunity sometime in 2025. Many of you put initials down, and I've been praying over those cards. I hope you've been praying for them. Maybe it might come from that list of those you've been praying for that opportunity. Maybe it's someone you hadn't even thought of then, but you're just like, okay, this name's come to me. I'm going to put that name down. Who could you invite this week so that you could say, I invited someone in 2025 to come to church? And as you think of someone to invite, if no one comes to mind, maybe you just, you know, I can't think of someone. Well, then maybe what you need to do is take one of those Christmas cards and buy a gift for somebody and then put a note of testimony in there with that gift and invite that person, if they don't already go to church, to come to church here. You never know what that little card might do in someone's life that you send a Christmas gift to. I'm grateful for this table. I'm so grateful for what God is doing in our church. I'm grateful for everybody who sits around this table. You know, much of what we do here is for those who are at the table. And so, you know, Jesus sometimes, though, wants us to remember those who aren't a part of our table so that we can reach out to them, so that they can know that he loves them and have that opportunity to make that choice for themselves. In fact, Acts chapter 20, verse 24, talks about those of us who are at this table, where Paul says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." And what is that work? The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge we've had in this series of Game On. Thanks for all the good things you're doing in our church right now, the ways you have stretched us, to those who have discovered their spiritual gifts, to those who have stepped up and have served in some way. God, thank you for those who have been willing to pray that prayer. God, use me. And are being used by you right now in our church. Thank you for those today who have that desire to be used by you to reach that person who's sitting in that chair, who doesn't know you, doesn't have a church family. God, use all of us who have discovered this table to walk across the room this week and invite someone to join us. We pray for our worship service next Sunday. May we all come to have a better understanding of the power of hope that has been given to us because of Jesus coming to this earth as a baby and living the life he did to show us your love, even being willing to die on the cross for us. God, I pray right now for those who are here today who don't have that assurance that they know you as their personal Savior. If that's you, as we're praying, you know, maybe today you're finally ready to say yes. Today's your day. If that is you, would you just pray these words inside of you as I say these words out loud and just talk to God and say, "Dear Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord. I want to live for you and follow you from this day forward in the fellowship of your church. As best as I understand it right now, Jesus, I say yes to you." Thank you, God, for this time of prayer. Help us to have the courage this week to walk across the room, to intentionally create the time to make the invite, to have that conversation, And we ask for your blessing over all of that. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen.